Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, and welcome to Blueprint for Life, The Awakening, and I am V, the Preacher. This lesson is brought to you by the Black Cultural Restoration Association, a nonprofit organization designed to be the advocacy of our people, and its statement is that we are awakening the minds. The original Hebrew man went asleep mind at a time. Sorry, endeavor to restore the cultural identity of those people where their history has been raped and pillaged from them, another history given to them, and another people taking their history, known today as the synagogue of Satan, which is spoken of in Revelations 2 and 9 and Revelations 3 and 9, taking back that which is ours and standing firm and fast upon the dictates given to us by the Most High. To be citizens of his kingdom, you must abide by his laws. And that's what this show is designed to do. When we say Blueprint for Life, our endeavor is to restore the morality that has been lost within our communities and our neighborhoods, and finding ourselves on the substratum and within the confines of the structure that he laid out for us, that unfortunately our ancestors were unable to maintain, that has us in this position that we pray for their souls. However, this has all been prophesied, and we look into prophecy on this lesson, and that's what we're going to do. What understand better what it is that we're supposed to do in this hour, in this time, understand the secret of the times, and understand what has befallen us now, and try and get ourselves back to a disposition of integrity, civility, spirituality, and true honor outside the confines of religion and tradition. There must be fluidity and pliability in this hour, and most importantly, no fear. Fear thou not, for Yah is with us. I am very excited to be back and to get into his word today and to share with you. It's been some time. I had to take some time off to bury a loved one who's gone on to rest and sleep. And we here who are still remaining must continue the work, celebrate the goodness of the things that have been done, realize that there are seasons and times for everyone, and we must learn to maximize our time with what we leave behind. However, I truly believe with all my heart that the times that are remaining are very short, and the return of our Messiah is very near. The days are being shortened rapidly, and we will read scriptures that attest to that. We'll get into that shortly. Also today, not only is it our Sabbath worship, but it is the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles that we celebrate, which is a high holy day found in Leviticus 23, and one of the three holy days where we were to come before him in fellowship. It's a seven-day celebration. However, Passover, Pentecost, and Feast of Tabernacles, something that's very important to the Most High, that we were to celebrate and honor and worship and praise unto him. I believe The Black Cultural Restoration Association, you can see more about how they educate our people about what transpired with our people prior to the 400 years of captivity here in our final captivity, and give you more information on who we are as a people so we can shatter the myths and the lies and the fallacies, because we no longer can hide it. We're not going to be stalked. We're preparing ourselves to rise into our kingship with nobility, with all humility to the Most High, but we will walk in kingship. And we must have the information along with the anointing and the power of Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, inside of us, so that when the transformation takes place, we'll catch some by surprise, but for the most part, all will know that truly these are the sons of Ahiah, that we represent him, that we are sons of Yah. All praises to the Most High. Back to the Feast of Tabernacles, because this is the first day, started last night in the evening. And as I said, this feast is a very serious holy feast, and we find it spoken of in Zechariah 14 and 19. Let me read a few scriptures to give some validity to the importance of this high holy day. There are many spoken of in Leviticus 23, but this particular holy day is a holy day that is spoken of in Zechariah to confirm that the remnant of the strangers, Amalekites, Edomites, heathens that make it in, there will be a small remnant of them, and the 12 tribes. And he said, speak unto the children of Israel, Leviticus 23 and 34, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. It's a symbology of the fact that Yeshua will return and tabernacle among us. It's also the symbology to confirm that he was born and came and tabernacled, dwelt with his people. The word became flesh and tabernacled, lived amongst us. It's been, if you understood the scriptures and did your study, it's been purported that Yeshua was born, whom this world calls Jesus Christ, during this month of September, which is actually the seventh month within the Hebrew calendar, because that first month will be found about mid-March. And we're in the seventh month where these high holy days are very important. No, this is not a holy day. We don't say Hallah day. We say holy days. That's what was given to us, not Christmas, 4th of July, and Thanksgiving. These are man-made days that he told us to separate ourselves from because they are akin to pagan practice. Many of you don't know the origins of those holidays. The holy days is what was commanded to us. And this particular holy day is one where the nations will have to come along with us to worship our Savior. And those that don't do so, there will be repercussions. He said, in Zechariah 14 and 19, this shall be the punishment of Egypt, those being the heathens, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, 19, letting you know how important this holy day is and will be after the consummation of times, something that we will continue to keep in our millennial reign. And during that millennial reign, if we want to be sustained, we will still keep the holy days, which is why we continue it now. We're practicing, preparing, and setting ourselves in sync with the heavenly tablets that we might be on one accord and receive the blessings that Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 12 would speak about for those that are obedient to the Most High. So we're to gather ourselves in a celebratory fashion during these 7 days. Remember the exodus of our people from Egypt. 2 Chronicles 8 and 13, even after a certain rate every day, offerings according to the commandment of Moses on the Sabbaths and on the new months and on. What I mentioned earlier about the three times a year is found in Deuteronomy 16 and 16. And as I mentioned, that is Passover, which is 14 days after the Hebrew New Year, which comes after it's been equal parts day and equal parts night. Then you count 14 and you have Passover. And then after Passover, you count 50 days and you have Pentecost, that being the second day to come together. And then Feast of Tabernacles being the third one. Three times in a year shall all thy males, the men that represent the household, their wives and their children, come before the Most High in the place which the Most High shall choose in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Deuteronomy 16 and 16. Ezra 3 and 4, they kept also the Feast of Tabernacles as it is written and offered the daily burnt offerings by number according according to the custom that were given unto them. Let's see. We have some more scriptures. I got quite a few scriptures we're going to go through today, just to let you know. It's been a while, but it's such a delight to have the knowledge of these scripts when we're living in a time that we're living in, where the people are in such a stupor, and understand that we're living in the tribulation of the final hour. Unfortunately, people, you've been mistaught because of religions, the various religions. Your pseudo-Christianity, which can't be found in the book, has confused you into believing that you can be lax and just take this in and not understand what it is we're supposed to do. But we're going to get into that a little bit later. A little bit full today with the scriptures, and seeing that it's been a while since we've come to you, but excited to be back with you, because this is our job, to establish this substratum, this foundation for our people to walk in, so we can walk in with peace, pleasure, and joy, and count it all joy, and continue to praise and worship, because he inhabits, means he lives in the praises that his children give unto him on a daily basis. If you want him to cohabitate with you, you must praise him daily. Praise him, not beg him. Praise him and thank him for what you have. Thank him for what you don't have, because he knows what you need before you even ask for it. He's not concerned about what you want, because he knows what's best for you. Deuteronomy 16 and 13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, have prepared yourself for this celebratory time. Feast of Tabernacles, initially, after leaving Goshen, plagues were coming down on Egypt. They finally released us. Let me make it clear. Every captivity that Israel was in, the people never wanted to let them go, because we brought wealth, riches, anointing, blessings, power, knowledge, because we are the only family the Most High has ever known in this earth, and he's given unto us very impressive gifts that change places, and abilities that bring wealth and riches. So these people don't want to pay you reparations so that you might leave them or get ahead of them again, because it was prophesied that the strangers that were amongst us when we came out of Egypt would get high, would get above us. And they want to control us, because they know that we have received the oracles of the Most High, that he's spoken to us directly, and we're to change the world, but not in the way we're changing it now. We're being used and abused and pimped out, for lack of a better term, and exploited every gift, all the giftings that are within us. So we want to take the time to, as we bring our people back, and cry out loud, like Isaiah 58 said, and spare not, and show my people their sins, their transgressions. Tell them what they're doing, because Ezekiel said if we don't, their blood would be on our hands. If you want clean hands, you've got to tell folks about themselves and then keep it pushing, so that you'll say, at least I did warn you. So we are busy laying the foundation of what the Most High expects from his people. And we're trying to build up Zion and bring back revival. He said, if my people, that scripture right there denotes that he has a people. And it's not all nations, all races. No, I'm sorry. The world has lied to you about John 3:16. And if my people, there are a particular people that will set the tone and call in the people. And Yeshua made it clear that he came to save those people, and those people only. And then in Acts, because of our hard-headedness and hard-heartedness, he opened it up again to other nations and races to be able to be grafted in. That's not my lesson for today, but when they're grafted in, they're to sit down and learn and be taught. They don't get up over us and teach us. But unfortunately, they have been teaching us, and a lot of them have twisted the word and written themselves into the prophecies, when they know that they will not be going into the inner courts nor the Holy of Holies. But they have access through their repentance. But there's things that they must do that the Most High gave us to do, such as even when their children are born on the eighth day, they must be circumcised. They must keep all the commandments. They must keep our dietary laws. You don't come amongst us talking about I'm grafted in and you're still eating pork, crab, shrimp, living a heathen, Gentile life and still a part of this world. When he said, come out of her, my people, he's saying, don't constantly hang out with the world and find pleasure and joy in the world and eat with these people, drink with these people, try to be like them and go to all the games. And you want to go to the football games and you want to go to all these concerts and you don't even know. I and my wife were listening to, on the Day of Atonement during our fast, we were listening to the book of caves and treasures of Adam and Eve. They talked about the anointing that came upon a particular young man while the sons of Seth stayed on the holy mountain, but this young man was gifted and anointed by Satan to create instruments like David, but he created them for Satan. And Satan gifted him and anointed him, and they began to make clothing with loud, bright colors and have music festivals that provoked the people into not only hysteria, but sensuality, and promoted orgies and lust. And all I could think of was these festivals, Woodstock and everything. And, you know, in the days that we're living in right now and prior to when it, before everything hit, and I'm not going to deal with this worldly stuff about the jab and sticky stick and all this other stuff today. I'm here to preach to you because this is the Sabbath and you need a word. And this is why a lot of you have more fear than faith because you're not getting the word. So we're going to get into the word today. But I thought about the fact that's still going on today with these demonic anointed festivals. This young man learned how to play every instrument. Satan anointed him, and he would bring companies of men to learn how to play these instruments to arouse these people into sensuality and provoke a hatred towards righteousness. And that's still going on today. And this world, through Christianity, has taught you that it's okay to continue to do that with these worldly people and become one with them. And then you wonder why you're fighting demons and oppression. When he said, come out of her, my people, we have to be separate in order to be a light. You have to do things differently in order to be salt. Separation is sanctification, and that Hebrew word is kodesh, which means set apart. You're not going to fit in, so don't try to blend in because you think you want to just go along to get along. No, we don't seek validation and vindication from the world and from sinners and heathens. We want to be pleasing to our Father so we can say we truly are kingdoms of the citizens of the kingdom. And so we celebrate these holy days so that we can be intact with the heavenly tablets and be one with his people, because truly you don't understand that your holiness and sanctification establishes a precedence in this world. These unsaved people who are struggling can see you. They want what you have. And that hope that lies in you, you have to be able to articulate that hope and the reason for your hope to other people that they might come out of darkness and receive eternal life. These people are on their way to hell, brothers and sisters that you want to party with, sleep with, drink with. They're getting ready to go to the lake of fire and taking the chip, because the chip is within the sticky stick. The mark of the beast is within that. You know, I'll probably spend another day on that just focusing so I can break it down for you, because I've received the information, but today I'm not going that way. I need to speak to your heart and life about what's happening and where we are as being a watchman and being a prophet and being back at work for the Most High. Not that I ever stepped off. It's very important to bury your elders and your loved ones, as the Bible talked about. So Christianity has made it okay for you to blend in, but that's not what he's calling for in this hour. You are a light on a hill. You are a light on a hill, and you have to endure the persecution. We must endure until the end. We must remain vigilant. We must remain sober. And it's a dangerous thing to party with these people. I didn't say you couldn't enjoy your life, enjoy some outings, but for the most part, we should learn to enjoy what Yah has created for us to enjoy. And we should continue to do the work that Yeshua, Jesus Christ, has done before us and make disciples of his people. So we thank him today for this high holy day. Let me read one more scripture about the Feast of Tabernacles. Say a quick word of prayer, or our Shema. And then we're going to get right into the lesson. Because as I mentioned, we got a few scriptures to read, but that's what we do on the Sabbath. That's what we do. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and tabernacled amongst us people. And when he returns, that Feast of Tabernacles will be more important than ever, because he's with us. Our Messiah has came back, made right all of our wrongs. Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power is one. Say Shabbat Shalom to all of you that are keeping these holy commandments. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Shabbat Shalom. This is the preacher, Boris Cooper. I'm back with you. and celebrating this Sabbath day and continuing the work. If you have a chance to tune in this week to Health is Wealth, please listen on Wednesdays if you haven't listened. We not only cover understanding the effectiveness of the herbs and roots and seeds that the Most High has given us, Most High Ahayah, has given us for sustenance, for meat, and for health, which the Hebrew word for health is aruka. And we try to transfer the knowledge. We don't need man's letters of learning, but we're not doctors. You can come after us all you want, Sue, so I'll let you know in a minute. I'm not your doctor, but I have been given the wisdom from the Most High, along with my wife, to understand some of these herbs that can benefit you, because it definitely did benefit us when these sicknesses tried to come upon us, and we were tremendously healed by Ruach HaKadosh and didn't have to resort to white coats, tablets, and prescriptions. No, we were able to come before him in prayer, fasting, and waiting upon him for our divine healing, because, see, unlike a lot of people within these churches, I believe what I'm reading, I believe in his power, what he can do, and I still believe he's a healer, and there's a balm in Gilead, and you must do the work, be patient, and have faith. Faith over fear, as we are in the midst of a battle against good and evil. You know, it's kind of duplicitous. It's it can be tough in this battle of good and evil. You at times may wonder what's happening, but when you stay in these scriptures, it can be duplicitous, because it can be joyful, because you're like, oh my goodness, we're getting closer to the time when my brother's coming back. Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is about to return and handle all this, because this is relentless. And it's relentless because somebody's desperate and laying out all the stops, because their time is just about over. So that's why I'm saying it's really duplicitous. We're not living in a time of global warming. That's a lie. Man is using Satan, along with his corrupt people, are using every mechanism they can get their hands on to bring destruction to the children of Israel and the casualties of war of the other nations. But the ultimate goal is to destroy Yah's people, so he has nothing to come back for. And it's it can be very, very trying, but here's where you understand that the power comes in having faith, reading these scriptures, and knowing the time that you're living in and what you must do in this hour. And I'm here to let you know that playtime is over. You all had your 80s and you had your 90s and early 2000s, and playtime is over. You got to get your house in order now. And we're going to get into that today. I got so much to share with you. I have to pace myself, because this is a job. This is my assignment. This is what I do. And we want to expose Satan, who's at the helm, because the scripture tells us that when it's revealed who's at the helm of all this destruction that's going on, we're going to be surprised, like the Wizard of Oz when they pull back the curtain and the guy comes out looking like Dr. Fauci. Be like, you were behind all this? Right. There are people behind the curtain pulling strings right now. Don't believe what you see. Don't believe it's a certain president that's doing this and all that. No. Satan, his demons, his entities, and those that worship him and want. Satan has promised his people eternal life as well. And they're busy sacrificing and killing people and drinking blood to achieve that type of eternal life. I don't know why we didn't take it literal when we used to hear scriptures out of Psalms 27 that said, 27:2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. David wasn't just making that up or using that as a metaphor or an analogy. These people literally are demonically inspired to eat the flesh of human beings. You've probably heard in the past how kidnapped, missing people are ground up in the meat and thrown into fast food. It's very true and possible. You don't understand that people in the world under the veil of darkness have found out that these fallen deities, demons, I'm not going to go into where demons come from. That's not the show today. These demons, Satan and Lucifer, They want power from them, and these demons have asked these people to kill and sacrifice and drink the blood of people. What's happening with the child trafficking and human trafficking is the taking of panicked blood from these children, which has something called adrenochrome, which gives them youthfulness, and it gets them in a hysteria, a high. So when he talked about eating the flesh, and then in the book of Revelations, we hear scriptures in Revelations 11, Revelations 9, about Satan being drunken with the blood of the saints, and that the majority of these people that are being kidnapped and killed are people of color, because they are the indigenous original creations before these serpent seeds showed up out of nowhere. And they know if they want life, they have to go and try and destroy and eat and take on and take the body parts of those who are indigenous, created by the hands of Yah, to sustain their life. You realize what we're living in. But I don't tell you all this to make you fearful, because unfortunately a lot of you have been desensitized by all the movies out here. So even when I talk like this, you relegate this to a movie you saw, because you have no knowledge from reading the scriptures, because you never did read the scripture. You go to church on Sunday and let somebody just talk to you for 2 hours after reading one verse of scripture, and then pontificate and become philosophical and talk to you like it's a motivational speech that you're in, where you're not even allowed to ask questions to get clarity. So it duped us and put us, helped to drive a lot of people into a stupor, because you were in the prosperity church, word of faith church, and nobody was getting healed anymore. There was no power, no anointing, no baptism, no transference of the Holy Spirit, as Paul did in Acts 19, laid hands on people and they received the Holy Spirit. No calling forth of your gifts, no understanding that the law, Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord, the Most High, is perfect, and it converts the soul of man and makes wise the simple. You weren't told about blessed assurance, where Matthew 7:21-23, he would say, depart from me because I never knew you. When people will stand before him in judgment, he'll be like, I never knew you, because know in the Greek is gnosko. And gnosko means to have intimate knowledge of someone. I've been with you. I knew you. And 1 John 2:3 says, we do know, we have blessed assurance, we do know we know him. We hereby do know we know him if we keep his commandments. Because if you say you love him, but you don't want to keep his commandments, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. So you've been lied to and told that that's the Old Testament. No, the only thing old is your ways and your sins. And the only thing that's going to be new is when you become transformed. And I just told you the scripture in Psalms 19:7 that said, you will not be transformed until you start keeping his holy ways, his commandments, his laws, changing your dietary habits, dressing habits, holy days, not holidays. You've got to get in sync with the Most High, and it doesn't come through church affiliation and whatever pastors say. Comes through you taking care of your soul, yourself, and family into understanding these scriptures to give you the propensity to endure and overcome sin. Yeah, I'm clearing my throat, Willie Chew, if you're listening. You talk for a couple hours on these scriptures, that's the kind of thing that'll happen. Let's get into this. The title of this lesson today was... if you're looking on the computer, you'll see it. I didn't actually post it on the initial screen, but we're talking about peace and safety today, so that we can better understand the times. And 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, we can go there. It's so easy for me to get on a roll. As I start talking about these scriptures, I get excited, because it gives me the confidence of knowing that everything's going to be all right. You know, I could sit here today with a heavy heart. I don't know if anyone else out there is listening has gone through burying their parents year after year and trying to understand how to reassess and redirect your life. But actually, much doesn't change if you follow the Most High, because he gives you that blessed assurance. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. And let's see. You know what? This 5th chapter is so good. Let's read it from the first verse. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, when it was taught in the church, it was saying that you would have no knowledge. But we're going to break that down today, because you need to know that we're in that hour now. Verse 3. For when they shall say, peace and safety, it's the title of our lesson. As soon as you hear those words, everything's okay, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Let me dwell on that for so I can get into this title a little more, because we're about to go in a lot of different directions up under the umbrella of this title. You've got people waiting for the return of Donald Trump, and the news is starting to reveal some of the lies that were told in politics that are affecting our people, because we're in Jacob's trouble and we're in the midst of a tribulation. There are casualties of war. The casualties of war are the heathens, the Gentiles, Amalek. Many of them will fall by the sting of the locust, which is the sticky stick, the jab, which contains the mark of the beast, through a product called graphene oxide, which once it's inside your body formulates itself into a chip. But you were taught that it would come another way, so you're confused, because you're once again referring to a movie called Left Behind, which was a twisting of the truth. The ones that are left behind are the ones that endure till the end and shall see the return of the Messiah. The ones that are taken, if they're righteous, they're sleeping, and those that are unrighteous are sleeping. And they all will rise again when the Messiah returns, but some to destruction and some to everlasting peace. I believe that there is a strong possibility that you will see a small degree of peace and safety, that maybe the return of Donald Trump will happen and everyone will rejoice and say, we've come out of this, it's been exposed, we're saving our country. Because what happens in the Daughter of Babylon and Mystery Babylon, which you call America, affects the entire world, because it's not just us going through it. This is coming upon the entire world. And this scripture is confirming that there'll be some semblance of peace, where the world will think that they can go back to the way it was, and we'll have some semblance of peace, and we have restored order, and God bless America. Sorry, not happening. Just as Egypt was destroyed, this world will be destroyed. Just as it was in the days of Noah when the flood came, this world will be destroyed. And our Savior told us that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man. There was so much sinfulness, repudity, hatefulness going on in the world. Sensuality, sexual perversion, and changing of the DNA because of the fallen deities that became demons that were sleeping with the people and creating hybrids and various different types of people, and people living for lust and for gain and for murder and for killing. The Most High was like, I got to wipe this world out with a flood. He gave us a rainbow to promise he wouldn't do it with water again, but he said, no more water. There'll be fire next time. I'm going to purge this earth. And that's the time we're living in. And I think the deception is that people are pulling for peace and safety from man and thinking that will save them. But before I continue to talk, let's get back to the scripture, verse 4, which speaks highly of what's to happen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 4, but you, brethren, you're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Pause right there. The church taught you he's coming as a thief in the night, and you were scared. Like, I'm not going to know. And so you start to live this fearful life of his return and not the life abundance, because he said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. He said, enjoy your life and keep my commandments. But the fear that was taught to you and preached to you was that, he's coming, I got to do this. And you became recluses, you became weird, you had no effectiveness on reaching the world and talking to them to teach them, because you were more concerned about your own salvation, and you became selfish in your ways, which is not what he put you here to do. You were to go and change the world. Why? Because you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Is he alluding to the fact that we will know? Yes, we will know. Because the scripture said, no man knows the day, hour, the hour, but we know the season. It's that season. It is that season. You heard this your whole life, but you've never seen what you're seeing now your whole life. Satan's unleashing an arsenal of destruction upon this land to keep this world in a stupor until the time of consummation. So he's causing confusion, because we are in the tribulation, and you thought you wouldn't go through it until things happened a certain way based on a movie you saw, Left Behind, not knowing that the man of sin is already here, and the mystery and the Antichrist government is already at work, and that the lines have already been drawn. And people have already made decisions and choices on who they want to follow. You, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Why? Verse 5, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So we're not in that stupor if we are truly his. Now, if you are living a life trying to figure out what you don't have to do to be closer to Yah, the Most High Yah, you're in error. Because this is the hour where you should be saying, what more can I do to be closer to him? Holy days, I'm doing it. Fast, I'm doing it. Commandments, I'm doing it. Pray and get baptized, I'm doing it. Take the Lord's Supper, I'm doing it. What more can I do? I've had enough of this world. I want the next world. And I want to be a citizen in his kingdom. What else did he say? Don't let nobody tell you the commandments are done away with, like create a flow of dollars and have you go to hell, when the scripture, even Yeshua, said that whoever teaches my people the commandments and the laws, he will be called great in my kingdom. Meaning, continue to teach these laws to my people. Do you think you will stand before Messiah and y'all just have a discussion about the church credo or the church doctrine and how many times you went to church? That's what you're going to be judged on? No, that's foolishness, tomfoolery. He's going to judge you like this world's courts does on a book of laws. That's why it says that when you stand before him, he's going to open the books. And if your name is in the books, it's because you've done what he's told you to do, which is abstain from sin. What is sin? 1 John 3 and 4. Sin is transgression of my law, not keeping it. That's in what you call the New Testament. The deception of your New Testament and Old Testament is the fact that the Nicene Council and the Council of Trent sat down and decided what books they would let you read and hid all the books that are prophesying about what's happening to us right now. If you want to understand the secrets of the times, you've got to go to the Pseudepigrapha, the Apocrypha, Jubilees, Jasher, the book of Enoch primarily, that they hid from you and told you with the spirit of witchcraft and deception, don't read those books. They will mess you up. You know what? They messed me up. Ha! And I'm so glad about it, because this is a good mess me up. Woke me up. That's what it did. They didn't have books during the times of the disciples. They went to the synagogue to hear the reading of all these books that were on scrolls. And the people would just be so blessed if you read in the book of Acts 13 and 15, how they went to the synagogue every Sabbath today to hear the reading of the scrolls, and how the church would just grow just from the reading. And then they would have preaching, because if you look at Acts 13 and 15, Paul was summoned from the back of the synagogue, and the priest said, come forth and have words. And he began to remind the people of the goodness of the Most High and everything he's done. Remind them how he brought us up out of Egypt and brought us up out of Persian captivity and Greek captivity and the miracles of Yah. And that's what we do on the Sabbath. We exhort one another with the goodness of Yah and how good he is. We ain't got to comment on how bad things are to people. I'm going to tell you how good every time you tell me how bad. Because if you want to get away from bad, you got to come to the good. And I remember the man who walked up to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, and said, good master, and he almost cussed him out. But our Messiah wouldn't curse. He said, don't you ever call me good, because there's nothing or none good but the Most High Yah. That's the only thing that's good. He is good. If you say you know him and you got him, then speak of the good. Let's take the negativity out of our mouth of the tribulation that we're experiencing right now and the times we're living in. We don't have to talk about that. It's on the news. People are getting enough of that. They need to see a reason why you got so much hope and why you're not standing in line to get a sticky stick and about the miracles and the healing that he's blessing you with in this hour, because we're light. Once again, Thessalonians 5:5, you are the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. I'm not with you and your problems. And I don't really want to hear about it. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you if you don't come on this side of the fence. And that includes your family members, your so-called friends, and your neighbors. If you don't know who you're living next to, you need to cry out loud and spare not, because these promises are true. I encourage you to please read these other books now more than ever and get out of the mindset of, I got my Bible. That's something that the Romans took the books they wanted to give you and compiled them and then had their seminaries misteach you and make you think you're not in the book and told the indigenous people, you're the curses of Ham. We're not of Ham, we're of Shem. But that's for another day. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Everybody sleep to what's going on. Let us watch and be sober. We're supposed to be checking this out. Like, look at what is happening. Uh-huh. He's fulfilling the prophecies of this book. People, I'm so sick and tired of people wanting to disqualify the scriptures. But you'll not say nothing about the five versions of the Quran, the lies of the Book of Mormon. But you want to attack this book because there's over 2,000 prophecies in it that have come true. This is a book that will change your life, and you want to question the validity of this book and say, well, who wrote that? I can't trust that. Well, suppose you, musician, everybody asks you, you didn't write that song, and where did it come from? Ah, you were inspired, and you can prove you wrote it because it's your life? But you can't do that with this book because somebody keeps telling you that it's the white man's book. No, you let the white man teach it to you in a certain way in the midst of slavery 400 years ago to get you to worship him and push white supremacy by giving you a picture of a hippie with blue eyes, Cesar Borgia's son, made you call him Jesus Christ, which ain't his name. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach, and gave you time off the field from picking cotton to go into the church on the day of sun worship, the first day of the week, and try and change the Sabbath. To give you a break, so you sat up in there and shouted all day because you're tired of picking cotton 6 days in a row, and turned this tradition religion into a pagan worship called Christianity, which is all paganism. And I'm going into it next week, Christianity and paganism, because we're destroying Christianity. We're pushing the way that Yeshua taught in the scriptures. First Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 7, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunk are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, not fear, love, forgiveness of people. It's love on people. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. You ain't saved and sanctified yet. Your salvation is coming when the Messiah returns. We will be saved. That's another lie you learned in church. I'm saved and sanctified. Now, you're in the process of sanctification by putting on the laws that make you separate. When you practice these laws, you don't look like, you don't dress like, you don't smell like, you don't eat like, you don't drink like, you don't smoke like these people in the world, because you're moving into sanctification by taking on the commandments. And you will be saved from this world when the Messiah returns to create a new heaven and a new earth and take you into the millennial reign, where you'll live 1,000 years, we'll destroy Satan, and then we'll live forever, and we'll eat from the tree of life, according to Revelations 22 and 14. 9, for the Most High hath not appointed us to wrath. Pause. You should stop and go run around your house. And then come back. He has not appointed us to wrath, who are the children of the day, who keep the commandments that are following him. He did not want you to go through this, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who died for us, that whether we were awake, those who will see him when he comes, or sleep, those who have passed that were righteous, that are in the dust of the ground, sleeping, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So what are we supposed to do right now? Verse 11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And then I love how he goes, Shaul goes into, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them. Know them who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them. Here's your assignment. Warn them that are unruly. Pause. Think about it. I know a couple of people just crossed your mind. Comfort the feeble-minded, those that are so scared. You're supposed to be comforting them. Or are you trading scariness with them? Yeah, girl, I don't know what's going to happen. I know I'm not getting that thing, though. You think I should get it? I just don't know what to do. That's the stupor that's among our people. We're going to read that in a minute. Support the weak, the elderly. Go check on them. And be patient. We got to learn to be patient with all men, because you didn't get here overnight. So you need to reflect sometimes on what it took for you to get to where you are. And don't think you all that, because you got there. Some of you got there because you got too old to do what you used to do. Can't do what you used to do no more. So now you want to be holy. Stuff then broke off you. You didn't caught stuff. 15 said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Key for us right now. We don't have the time. We're children of the light. We're not paying nobody back. And don't worship your tongue and your mouth. Wait till I tell them. Wait till I tell them. Shut up. Your mouth and your tongue ain't about nothing. He said to follow peace with all men and holiness without, no man shall see the Most High. It's not about your words, your fists. He said, don't do evil for evil right now. We're not appointed to wrath. We're waiting. We know the season. We know he's coming because we read this word. We didn't just go to church on Sundays and just listen to this. We read the Bible. We read the treasures of the cave of Adam and Eve. We read all these books that they said don't read. They're not canon. Get out of here with that non-canonical stuff. If you can waste time reading Time Magazine, Jet, Ebony, and watching reality shows, you can go read these books and do the research and get some knowledge for yourself so you better understand the secrets of the times. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, all the time, rejoice, and pray every day without ceasing. How do I do that? Your mind. Your meditations, your praying in your heart, your mind, every time you see something, oh, Father, help him. Oh, Father, bless him. Oh, Father, we thank you. I think you should pull over and pray at least 3 times during the day. but your meditations, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. See, you're in warfare in your mind all day long. Thoughts pop up in your mind, and you have to cast those dark thoughts down immediately. And it doesn't make you a bad person, because right now, with the technology that Satan is utilizing, strange thoughts are entering your mind through frequencies called, it's the internet, but there's another word I want to use, electromagnetic frequencies and nanoparticles and things that you're eating, and subliminal programming and MK Ultra. These stuff you're watching on TV, they can, in a split second, put a word on the screen. You didn't see it with your eyes, but your spirit picked it up and it sent you. You got thoughts are like a bird flying over your head. You're not going to let the bird stop and build a nest on your head. If you link up with that thought and stay there, then the thought will enter your heart. Next thing after it enters your heart, it's going to enter your actions, because you think on it too long. It's going to meditate there, and then you're going to be provoked by the lust of your eyes and the lust of your flesh, because you didn't block that bird from building a nest on top of your head. Cast down imaginations. And that's why even Shaul gave us that, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, sincere, true, think on these things. That's a form of prayer too. So that's how you pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of the Most High in HaMashiach, Yeshua, concerning you. Don't quench the spirit when it comes on you, when it's leading you. Don't dismiss it, and don't despise prophesying, which are what we do in the day. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. This is very serious, this last one I'm reading. Abstain from the appearance of evil. If it don't look good, you don't need to be around it. Be a part of it. Don't associate yourself with it. And don't come across as being that way. We don't need to come across trying to look like gangsters and thugs. We have to do the things that they're saying for us to do in love and in light, for being children of the day and being sober, vigilant, and enduring till the end, because we are definitely in the midst of Jacob's trouble. Let's read about this tribulation. These tribulatory times. Listen to this. A lot of people ask, what is Jacob's trouble? And it's found in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. We're going to get into that shortly. I just want to read a little bit from this article, and then we'll get into that scripture. Most people don't understand the inspiration of the Most High. The ancient prophet Jeremiah spoke of the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah 30 and 7, but we're going to go to Jeremiah 30 in a second. Many have asked what this trouble for Jacob's descendants is and when it occurs. For an explanation showing that the descendants of Jacob are the 12 tribes of Israel. And who are they? And we know that the 12 tribes of Israel have been spread throughout the four corners of the earth. 10 tribes, which is the northern kingdom, initially left Second Esdras, the 13th chapter, around the 39th verse, talks about how the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, came from up under Syria's rule, Assyria, and went to a land called Arsrith, where they could keep the laws and commandments. So we find that that's when there was the separating and dispatching of the 10 throughout the four corners, where they went to what you would call Australia now, South America, the Caribbean, the Philippines, the islands of Samoa, the islands of the sea, you'll see in scriptures. And they went to what we call America and were over there. The southern kingdom came and joined their brothers later when they went into slavery, because they were trying to get away from the Spanish Inquisition, Amalek, the Romans. We fled King James, the nobility of Europe. That was the Dark Ages. They were all black folks. We're indigenous. We're the indigenous people of all the lands. We don't know where this fallen angel seed came from and started conquering us, but it was prophesied. But we began to run and flee, because Yeshua warned us that it would happen. The temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., Well, we joined our brothers that were already in these lands, and we all went into captivity together. So Southern Kingdom consists of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. It's been purported that Levi is that region over there in Haiti where they fled. Benjamin was in the Caribbean, and that a lot of the Judites you'll find in the United Kingdom, in America, in Africa, and just spread out all over the place. And that's Church Lives. You told you about a rapture, but we're all going to be gathered by the Most High. We'll read about that in Jeremiah 30th chapter and reassembled to go back into our land after the times of the Gentiles is finished, because this is their time, and the remnant of the Gentiles must come in, and our people must come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Let me read some more of this about Jacob's trouble. This prophecy of unprecedented difficulty for Jacob's descendants will be fulfilled just before the second coming of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. The reason for the Most High's punishment is found in his instructions to their ancestors millennial years ago. And that's why it's important for you to read these books. The reasons for the Most High's punishment on Jacob's descendants. Recognizing the ancient Israelites' hostility toward him and his commandments, the Most High told Moses, "Behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land." And that's what we did. We wanted to be like other people, and we want to assimilate into the heathens and Gentiles' ways, worship their gods, and we're doing it today. We don't want to obey the commands, telling our people you don't have to keep them. You can eat their unclean foods, their delicacies. You can go eat their lobsters. You can go play the harlot, walk away from him, and worship their fallen deities, because every other nation and every other religion is, there's a fallen angel deity, which is a demon that is over it, and they're worshiping them. I can prove it to you with 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, who says, the gods of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, whom the gods of this world have blinded the minds of them. So we're being blinded by the worship of other deities, which produce covetousness, idolatry, and blasphemy on our people, getting into becoming Jehovah Witnesses, Christians, Buddhists, yoga, doing yoga, practicing, and chanting, and anything but obeying Yah and what he gives, the Most High Yah. Let's go back to this. He told Moses, my anger shall be aroused against them in that day, and I'm going to forsake them, and I'm going to hide my face from them, and we will be devoured, and we have. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in the day, have not these evils come upon us because the Most High is not among us? No, he's not. The scripture tells us in Proverbs that he turneth his ear away from hearing the prayers of them that turn their ears away from hearing the law. Not answering your prayer. This is why people go into other religions to start worshiping fallen angels, because he's giving them power. They think that the material things they receive are blessings. No, it's because you're in the world of the wicked of Satan, and he's blessing you with accoutrements to keep you in deception and darkness by thinking that all you have to do is have religion. Because nobody wants to strip themselves of themselves and come back to commandments which sanctify you, because they think it's too hard. I can't do all that. And that was some book written by somebody else, and I don't want no parts of it. Because you don't want to conform. Which makes you weak, if you really want to know. You don't have the testicular fortitude to strap up, zip up, tie up, close it up, put it up. You're weak. I digress. He said, and I will surely hide my face in that day, right now, because of all the evil which they have done, and that they have turned to other gods. Deuteronomy 31:16-18 tells you that. Repeating what the Most High had revealed to him, Moses told the people, for I know that after my death, you will become utterly corrupt and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Most High to provoke him to anger through works of your hands. Verse 29. Sin is the cause of everything that's happening right now. The Most High hates sin because of its destructive effects. His laws are for our good. So when we break those laws, we bring bad consequences on ourselves. Adultery, fornication, lusting. Every day you looking at a piece of tail. I don't want to hear nothing about you in your 20s and puberty is taking over. It's because your parents didn't raise you right with morals. So train up a child in the way he should go. When he's older, he will not depart. But these demons have become so, the specters and chittums have been released upon the land. And now there's an all-out assault on our young people. They don't even know what's coming over them. And it's just like back in the days when the sons of Seth ended up giving in to the sons of Cain and partying with them because they wanted some of that. You got to watch what you behold and what you listen to. Let's see. Sin causes pain and suffering and cuts us off from the Most High. Most High's desires for the curses we bring on ourselves to turn us back to him in repentance. Jacob's trouble is intended, hear me closely, because we're in it. Jacob's trouble is intended to wake up the end-time descendants of Jacob and motivate them to repent. It needs to get harder now to bring you to your knees. I can't save you, but I've already been on my knees, and I'm going to rejoice. I'm not going to cry with you because I'm not in sin. And I'm not perfect, but every day I strive to keep these commandments, I'm striving for perfection. And I'm separating myself from sin. And every day I practice that, I get further away from my sins and incur the blessings of the Most High. Multiple punishments culminating in the time of Jacob's trouble. The Most High punished Israel in the 8th century when its citizens were taken captive by the Assyrians. Judah was punished in the 6th century BC at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar and the nation of Babylon. Disobedience to the Most High's commandments will once again bring about the downfall of the descendants of ancient Israelites prior to Christ's return to the earth to establish the kingdom. While all the nations of Israel will experience the tribulation of Jacob's trouble, Genesis 48 and 16 reveals that Jacob explicitly placed his name on Ephraim and Manasseh. Hence, their descendants will bear the brunt of this difficult time. Daniel spoke times of trouble such as never was. Daniel spoke of this latter fulfillment saying, at that time, Michael, who's over the saints, the Israelites, Hebrews, us, our people, shall stand up. The great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake up, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. We find that in Daniel 12, 1 through 2. How Jacob's trouble relates to the end time great tribulation. In addition to the troubles coming to Jacob's descendants, let's not forget Jacob was the descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he begat the 12 sons, which are the 12 tribes, which are our people, his descendants, the indigenous people of the land, not the Edomites and the Amalekites. These other Gentiles are grafted in. They're not descendants of Jacob. This is about you. The sticky stick is designed to get you. Everybody else is casualties of war. It's going to threaten all nations just before his return. Describing this period of time, Yeshua said, for then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. And you wonder what's going on right now. No, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, which is why every day, every week, every month, every year just zips by, that's a confirmation to you people. He said, if I don't shorten these days, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect, the ones that are written in the book, saved, the ones that want to keep the commandments and laws, those days will be shortened. That's Matthew 24, 21 through 22. Essentially, the time of Jacob's trouble corresponds to the same time period called the Great Tribulation. See, the church didn't let you know that you were in it right now because you're looking for it to come a certain way based on a movie you saw because you don't study to show yourself approved. You are in the tribulation, people. You don't have the kind of time you think you have, and you're not going back to another time or a better world. We're getting ready to bring this to an end. So it's going to get darker before it gets lighter. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the world as you know it. And there must be a new heaven and a new earth because there must be a purging of the wickedness that's going on in this land. Folks, you're not living in Disneyland. There's some wickedness that happens at night, undercover, in the tunnels, behind closed doors. Wickedness, children being raped, murdered, molested, killed, sacrificed, abortions, high. People are dying, people. People are hungry, starving. There is wickedness in the world hiding under a political party affiliation. And you looking for your next good time. Our good time is in worshiping, praising, and living for the Most High and keeping his holy days. Hallelujah. The world conditions will be worse than any time in history, and humanity will be on the brink of self-destruction. Is that not right now? This great tribulation leads up to the time called the Day of the Lord. All you have to do is go to your search engine, type in scriptures about the Day of the Lord, and they will all pop up, and that's how you will do your study. Those are called precepts. Because scripture interprets scripture, not somebody telling you. That's the easiest way I can teach you to learn your precepts. You don't even know how to read the Bible. I'm talking about, I read the whole Bible 5 times. And it's not even in chronological order and you don't know nothing. Do a study on the precepts. Deliverance from the time of Jacob's trouble, even though the descendants of Jacob, including the descendants of Jacob, are going to face severe punishment for the disobedience to the Most High. He promises, I will bring back from captivity my people Israel and Judah, says the Lord. The reason it's Israel, that's in reference to the 10 tribes, and he speaks of Judah because that's the other two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, along with the Levites. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. We're going to get into that in Jeremiah 30th and 3rd chapter. Describing this time of restoration, the Most High continues, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Most High of hosts, that I will break the yoke from off their necks, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them. That means use them, exploit them, talk about them, hate them. They try to kill certain people that's saying, I'm not getting you a sticky stick and I'm not doing this. But they shall serve the Most High and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob. Y'all need to get back into Psalms 91. We're not supposed to walk in fear. It's a complete description of what's going to happen around us in the midst of pestilence, that people are going to die. But guess what? Everybody who dies is going to come back to life, but some to everlasting life and some to contempt, depending on how they live their life. Even though we're going through a lot, we're going to repent, many of us, and many of us will be restored. He said, watch and pray that you might be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and be able to stand before Yeshua. In Luke 21 and 36, we have to watch, listen, and keep hope and keep these commandments because that's the patience of the saints. That's what we must look forward to. Let's look at Jeremiah 30. I got some more scriptures. The promise of the fact that we'll go home. We're going to look at the stupor of tribulations. We're going to go into 2 Esdras, and we're going to go into Baruch and read some scriptures, and then we're going to close out. Let me go into Jeremiah 30. It's very encouraging. Turn there with me. Jeremiah 30 and 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Most High spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus said the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye know, see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Verse 7, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. We're going to get delivered through this. Verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, said the Lord of hosts, that I will break this yoke off thy neck and will burst the bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of us and use us and exploit us. But we will begin to serve the Lord our God and David our king. And listen to verse 10. Therefore, fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, said the Most High, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return and shall be in rest and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. Do you believe it? You've got to believe it. And this is what they tried to change this into, the rapture. He's just coming to gather his people and put us where we're supposed to be. If that's what you want to call a rapture, all right, so be it. But it's not taking you up to go live in the heavens. That's where he lives. You are bound to this earth, and this is where you're going to dwell in a new heaven, new earth. This is what we're being reestablished as it was supposed to be with Adam and Eve before Eve led Adam into sinning through her being, you know, tempted. And you know the story. I ain't got to tell you the story. And that's where the fall came, and we started to die. And as generations progressed, we lived less time on the earth. Moses was 120 when he died. Adam lived to be 900 and something years old, as well as like Methuselah and Enoch and them. But as time progressed, the lifespan began to shorten. And we're getting ready to go back. He's going to restore the original intent that he had with Adam and Eve. Jeremiah 30:11, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, that's all races. Did you hear that? I'm going to make a full end of them. It's only a few of them that are going to, as I mentioned earlier, a remnant of these other nations and races and Gentiles are going in to this new heaven and earth. Because somebody got to pour the water. I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of you. But what did he say he's going to do? But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Why? Those are his children, the children of Israel, the only family he's ever known in the earth. We spank our kids. Even if they're grown and they get beside themselves, they running away from you because they don't want to hear it. Because they know when they do see you, they're going to hear it. Because that's the way of the world. For thus, verse 12, for thus said the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee and they seek thee not. They're going to hate you because when they realize who you are and what they've been doing to you, they're going to be ashamed, but they never did love you. The Karens don't love you. The presidents and the political people and the other nations don't love you. People despise you because you're the chosen people. Listen to verse 15. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquities. Yeah, us, hard-headed, stiff-necked people. This is our seventh and final captivity. Why was there six more? We kept turning back to our sinful, wicked ways and wanting to be like these other people. I can't believe that we went through Greek captivity under Titus, Vespasian, Ptolemies, Alexander the Great. And we took on the Greek customs and they called us Hellenized Jews. And, you know, we're still doing it today by going, sending our kids to college and they go pledge to Greek fraternities and secret societies under demonic spirits. Talking about we Greek and I'm an alpha and I'm this and I'm that. We just so sinful in our minds and our wicked ways. Anything but rather come back to the Most High and serve him and keep his commandments. That's why he's so upset with us. That's why we're still going through so much. There will be no justice, no peace. There will, all of your leaders will be killed and shot down, the great ones. Every time they rise up, an FBI and CIA will listen and try to censor preaching, teaching, our words, our leadership, our galvanizing of the people. Know who you are more than you know who you are. I forget J. Edgar Hoover set out an edict to make sure our Savior never rises up amongst us, so they kill your Martin Luther Kings, your Malcolm X, your Tupacs, your Marcus Garveys, your anybody that can just galvanize the people, Fred Hampton and all these people that can stir and stimulate our people. That's right. It's in our seed. It's in our DNA. And the Spirit from on high will come through certain men that can speak words that bring our people back to their destiny. 15, why criest thou for thine affliction, thy sorrows incurable for the multitude of thine iniquities? Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto you. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. We're being destroyed. They're taking our babies, and they're putting them into MRC-5 to put into this stick, this jab. MRC-5 is aborted fetus cells and stem cell therapy from the over 20 million abortions of black babies and all those kidnapped black children, their body parts being given to other nations afar off. They pay on the black market, on the dark internet, and that kid is kidnapped because doctors have your blood type, DNA, your type. It's all in the system. It's in the database. I don't know if you remember when Trayvon Martin was killed, many proposed that it was because his organs and body parts were given to one of these elite family members. He's dead now. This man had 7 heart transplants and lived to be about 99 or something. And he finally died, one of those Rothschilds. And they guess whose body parts they want? The indigenous people. Why? Because they are Neanderthals. They're not the indigenous. They're not even human. That came out in Newsweek, Time magazine years ago. The DNA doesn't match. I digress. Verse 16 of Jeremiah 30, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee what I give for a prey. They will be destroyed. It's coming to an end, people, and there's a panic in the land. You don't have to associate yourself with the panic because although you're going through it because it's Jacob's trouble being chastised, it's to purge them out and prepare you for the coming of the Most High. Our brother Messiah, Yeshua. You're talking about, I don't believe in the Messiah. You know, you got Hebrews that are non-messianic. So what are you doing every Feast, Tabernacles, and Atonement? Going to get a lamb and cut the blood and shed it over yourselves? You have no Messiah. And what is your hope? Might as well be reading the Kabbalah, Talmud. Verse 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, said the Most High, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after? Yes, they have despised us, talked about us, and made us look like we ain't nuts. And they're going to be shocked to be like, this is Zion? Yeah, it's us. And there's a few remnant of people that know who we are as a people, which is why for 400 years in this final captivity, we go through so much. Civil rights wasn't for you. It was for LGBTQ. You're being used and stepped on. Your salvation is in coming back to the Most High of His commandments, not the church of Sunday. That's a foreign concept. It comes from the word circ. That's a pagan word. We're going into these pagan temples. Let's skip down to verse 19. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, not the holiday, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. This is your time to get excited about what we're going through, because their punishment is coming. This is why they're trying to hurry up and destroy you with this all-out assault, because there's a destruction coming for them, because they know not our God. He did not create them. These people worship Lucifer. Woe unto the inhabitants of this world. For Satan hath come down having great wrath. Most High said, I've turned this world over to the wicked. And they have but a season. And they're at the end of that season. And that's why you're seeing it's all out treachery all around you. Put it together, people. Where did I leave off? Let's go to Jeremiah 30 and 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart in the latter days, and you shall consider it as part of the day of the Lord. So you're hearing our salvation and deliverance and the destruction of the people that are destroying our people right now. These manufactured storms and hurricanes and earthquakes, and moving tectonic plates with their heart machines and with CERN, and trying to produce dark matter and unleash the watchers and the fallen angels, and the watchers are buried underground. They're trying to bring these powers up. They're summoning every demon they can get their hands on for the destruction before this happens, because there's no hope for them unless they repent and become submissive and give back to the originals. These people are panicking all around us. Why are you getting into their panic when you should be getting closer to the Most High? So even if it is, and it is weather weapons being used right now. We are in World War III. It just happened different way. It's a cyber war, cyber warfare, internet frequencies, manufactured the reason California's not seeing rain, because they've known how to seed the clouds to stop the rain from coming. But you say that nothing happens on this earth unless the Most High allows it. So he will allow them to do this to destroy themselves and to bring the stuff into power. He utilizes these things on the earth. What you don't know is that rivers are turning into blood, locusts have been released, and you just discounted all that. The plagues are upon us. The plagues, the pestilence, it's all here. You have a mandate to know what to do in the midst of it. The beauty of it is that in Egypt, before we went into the Exodus, the Feast of Tabernacles, when all the plagues were coming upon Egypt to free us before we got free, we were in a land called Goshen. Goshen is called the Ark of Ministry. Goshen, we were safe. Plagues didn't even come over there. They won't come nigh your dwelling if you're in Goshen, which in Hebrew means Ark of Ministry. When you are busy doing the work of the Most High in the midst of all this and not panicking in fear and keeping his commandments, you will be safe until it's time to walk out of this land and go into the land he has prepared for us. Let's go over some more scriptures because I'm running out of time. I want to talk about this stupor some more, this tribulation, so you'll better understand the secret of the times. It's time to tighten up, people. It's time to tighten up. Let's go to 2 Baruch. And you might want to go to your internet, your laptop, your phone to get 2 Baruch, because it's in the pseudepigrapha. Another book that's been hidden from you to help you understand the secret of the times. Let's 2 Baruch. Let's go down to, I'm just going to read various scriptures. I'll just read them for you if you don't have it. I skip down to 2 Baruch 4. And the Lord said unto me, this city shall be delivered up for a time, and the people shall be chastened during a time, and the world will not be given over to oblivion, hope. So I want to read that one to you. Skip down to 6. 6 says this, and it came to pass on the morrow that, lo, the army of the Chaldees surrounded the city, and at the time of the evening, I, Baruch, left the people, and I went forth and stood by the oak, and I was grieving over Zion. Baruch was during the time of Jeremiah as well. I want you to know they coexisted at the same time. 6th chapter, it says, second verse, and I was grieving over Zion and lamenting over the captivity which had come upon the people. And lo, suddenly a strong spirit raised me and bore me aloft over the wall of Jerusalem. And I beheld, lo, 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the city, each of them holding a torch of fire in his hands. And another angel began to descend from heaven and said unto them, hold your lamps and do not like them till I tell you. For I am first sent to speak a word to the earth and to place it in what the Most High has commanded me. I'm going to skip down to 16 and 18. Second Baruch 16. Stay with me. And I answered and said, O Lord, my Lord, lo, the years of this time are few and evil, and who is able in his little time to acquire that which is measureless? And the Lord answered and said unto me, 17, with the Most High account is not taken of much time, nor of a few years. For what did it profit Adam that he lived 930 years and transgressed that which he was commanded? Therefore, the multitude of time that he lived did not profit him, but brought death and cut off the years of those who were born from him. Or wherein did Moses suffer loss in that he lived only 120 years, and as inasmuch as he was subject to him who formed him, brought the law to the seed of Jacob and lighted a lamp for the nation of Israel. 18. And I answered and said, he that lighted has taken from the light, and there are but few that have imitated him. But those many whom has lighted have taken from the darkness of Adam, not rejoiced in the light of the lamp. Let's continue. Let's go down to 19 and 4. Now regarding everything that is, it is I that judge, but do not thou take counsel in thy soul regarding these things, nor afflict thyself because of those which have been. For now it is the consummation of time that should be considered, whether of business or of prosperity or of shame, and not the beginning thereof. Because if a man be prospered in his beginnings and shamefully entreated in his old age, he forgets all the prosperity that he had. And again, if a man is shamefully entreated in his beginnings and at the end is prospered, he remembereth not again his evil entreatment. And again, hearken, though each one were prospered all that time, the time from the day on which death was decreed against those who transgressed, in his end was destroyed. In vain would have been everything. 20. Therefore, behold, the days come, and the time shall hasten more than the former, and the seasons shall speed on more than those that are past. And the years shall pass more quickly than the present years. Therefore have I now taken away Zion, that I may the more speedily visit the world in its season. Now therefore hold fast in thy heart everything that I command thee, and seal it in the recesses of your mind. And then I will show thee the judgment of my might and my ways, which are unsearchable. Go therefore and sanctify thyself. Let me go to the next one in 25. Let me skip down. Well, let's read 24. For behold, the days come, and the books shall be opened, in which are written the sins of all those who have sinned. And again, also the treasuries in which the righteousness of all those who have been righteous in creation is gathered. For it shall come to pass at that time that thou shalt see the many that are with thee suffering the Most High, which has been throughout all generations, who has been long suffering towards all who are born. Those who sin and those who are righteous. And I answered and said, but behold, O Lord, no one knows the number of those things which have passed, nor yet of those things which are to come. For I know indeed that which has befallen us, but what will happen to our enemies? I know not. And thou wilt visit, and when will thou visit their works? Verse 25, he answered and said unto me, thou too shall be preserved till that time, till that sign which the Most High will work for the inhabitants of the earth in the end days. This therefore shall be the sign when a stupor shall seize the inhabitants of the earth, and they shall fall into many tribulations, and again when they shall fall into great torment. And it will come to pass when they say in their thoughts by reason of their much tribulation, the Mighty One doth no longer remember the earth. It will come to pass when they abandon hope that the time will then wake up. We're in a time now where everyone is abandoning all hope and saying God is gone. He didn't already came. Rapture didn't already happen. He has forgotten about us. And they're abandoning hope. No one, done with them churches, so that's been exposed. But there's an awakening of the remnant that know what time we're in. Will you be one of them that sees the time we're living in? Skip down to 27. And he answered and said unto me, into 12 parts is that time divided, and each one of them is reserved for that which is appointed for it. In the first part there shall be the beginning of commotions, and in the second part there shall be slayings of the great ones, and in the third part the fall of many by death, and in the fourth part the sending of the sword, wars, and in the fifth part famine and the withholding of rain. California, empty supermarkets, other countries don't have no food, telling farmers to stop picking up crops. In the fifth part, famine and the withholding of rain, and in the sixth part, earthquakes and terrors. You already know what that is. It's self-explanatory. They'll be wanting. People just wanting to lay and sleep with people, lust, wantingness, begging for things, can't find enough pleasure. And in the eighth part, a multitude of specters and attacks of Shittim. It's more demons attacking people's minds. In the ninth part, the fall of fire. And in the tenth part, rapine and oppression. These protests and looting, robberies and shootings. In the 11th part, wickedness, unchastity. Everything's about sex. And in the 12th part, confusion from the mingling together of all these things. All happening at one time. For these parts of that time are reserved and shall be mingled one with another and minister one to another. They're just feeding. All this madness is feeding off each other and taking over our society. But at the same time, there's an awakening of the right people that are in the book. And we've already went over what we're doing. We're counting it all joy. For some shall leave out some of their own and receive it instead from others. And some complete their own and that of others, so that those may not understand who are upon the earth in those days, that this is the consummation of the times. You're being confused so you can't see who the people are, the demons that are here, the fallen angels, and what's getting ready to transpire. But those who are awoke have eyes to see, because you know you're the light of the day. You're the children of the Most High, and it's time to come back to Him and exhort and encourage others to do so. That was 27. So much in 2 Baruch. Let's just skip down to 29. And he answered and said unto me, whatever will then befall will befall the whole earth. Therefore, all who will live will experience them. But at that time, I will protect only those who were found in those selfsame days in this land. And it shall come to pass when all is accomplished, that was to come to pass in those parts, that the Messiah shall then begin to be revealed. That's amazing. He'll probably be right down here with us and people don't even know when he's going to be revealed. Come back. Every eye will see, every knee shall bow. And Behemoth shall be revealed from his place, and Leviathan shall ascend from the sea. You can find out about those in the book of Job and some of the lost books. Those two great monsters which I created on the fifth day of creation and shall have kept until that time, and then they shall be for food for all that are left. The earth also shall yield its fruit 10,000-fold, and on each vine there shall be 1,000 branches, and each branch shall produce 1,000 clusters, and each cluster produce 1,000 grapes, and each grape produce a cot of wine. All you Christians that ain't drinking wine, I don't know what you're going to do here, because it's going to be, okay, I won't start. And those who have hungered shall rejoice. Moreover, also they shall behold marvels every day. For winds shall go forth from before me to bring every morning the fragrance of aromatic fruits. And at the close of the day, clouds distilling the dew of health. And it shall come to pass at that selfsame time that the treasury of manna shall again descend from on high, just like he gave it to the children of Israel when we came out of Egypt. Hallelujah. And they will eat of it in those years, because these are they who have come to the consummation. We came through it and made it through. And it shall come to pass After these things, when the time of the advent of the Messiah is fulfilled, that he shall return in glory. Then all who have fallen asleep in hope of him shall rise again. And it shall come to pass at that time that the treasuries will be opened, in which is preserved the number of the souls of the righteous, and they shall come forth, and the multitude of souls shall be seen together in one assemblage of one thought. And the first shall rejoice, and the last shall not be grieved. For they know that the time has come of which it is said that it is the consummation of the times. But the souls of the wicked, when they behold all these things, shall then waste away the more. For they shall know that their torment has come and their perdition has arrived. They will know, they get ready to get it. Verse 30, let's go to 32. But as for you, 2 Baruch chapter 32, but as for you, if you prepare your hearts so as to sow in them the fruits of the law, it shall protect you in that time. Hello? If you keep the law, that's what's going to protect you. Brothers and sisters, when you're keeping the holy days and you're keeping the commandments, it puts you on a frequency to be a member of the kingdom, and it puts walls of protection around you. The same walls that the devil told the Most High in the book of Job, the first chapter, he said, have you considered, he said he was roaming the earth looking for somebody to mess with. And the Most High said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, I can't get to him because you got a hedge around him, a hedge of protection. What is that protection? I'm reading it to you now. It's keeping the laws. I'll read it again. But as for you, if you prepare your hearts so as to sow in them the fruits of the law, it shall protect you in this time in which the Mighty One is to shake the whole creation. Because after a little time, the building, that's Jacob's trouble. The law is going to protect you. The building of Zion will be shaken in order that it might be built again. He's got to tear down all of these, everything that the spirit of Nimrod came upon these people to build a tower of Babel again. He's got to bring it all down to prepare for this new earth and the kingdom we'll live in. Verse 2, because after a little time, the building of Zion will be shaken in order that it might be built again. But that building will not remain, but will again after a time be rooted out and will remain desolate until the time. And afterwards, it must be renewed in glory and perfected forevermore. Therefore, we should not be distressed so much over the evil which has now come as over that which is to be. For there will be a greater trial than these two tribulations when the Mighty One will renew his creation. And now do not draw near to me for a few days, nor seek me till I come to you. He's talking to Baruch right now. And it came to pass, when I had spoken to them all these words, that I, Baruch, went my way. And when the people saw me setting out, they lifted up their voice and lamented and said, whither departest thou from us, Baruch, and forsakest us as a father who forsakes his orphan children and departs from them? He was bringing light and hope to the people. Let me skip down to chapter 50 as I close out in Baruch, because I want to go to the Baruch in the Apocrypha and encourage you too. Before we get ready to close out, I have a few minutes. Baruch 50. Second Baruch, the 50th chapter. And he answered and said unto me, hear, Baruch, this word, and write in the remembrance of thy heart all that thou shalt learn. For the earth shall then assuredly restore the dead, which it now receives, in order to preserve them. Those of you who have lost your loved ones. It shall make no change in their form. The ones that have been buried. But as it has received, so shall it restore them. And as I delivered them unto it, so also shall it raise them. For then it will be necessary to show the living that the dead have come to life again. My God. And that those who have departed have returned again. And it shall come to pass when they have severally recognized those whom they now know, then judgment shall grow strong, and those things which before were spoken of shall come. 51, 2 Baruch chapter 51. And it shall come to pass, when that appointed day has gone by, that then shall the aspect of those who are condemned be afterwards changed, and the glory of those who are justified. For the aspect of those who now act wickedly shall become worse than it is, as they shall suffer torment. Also, as for the glory of those who have now been justified in my law, who have had understanding in their life, and who have planted in their heart the root of wisdom, then their splendor shall be glorified in changes, and the form of their face shall be turned into the light of their beauty, that they may be able to acquire and receive the world which does not die, which is then promised to them. For over this, above all, shall those who come then lament that they rejected my law and stopped their ears that they might not hear wisdom or receive understanding. That's those people that think you crazy because you're keeping the Old Testament. This is how they're going to be acting. They're going to realize they messed up. To reject the law is to reject that written by the finger of the Most High. They stopped their ears that they might not hear wisdom or receive understanding. When therefore they see those over whom they are now exalted, but who shall then be exalted and glorified more than they, they shall respectfully be transformed, the latter into the splendor of angels. This is talking about us who keep in the law. We're going to be transformed into the splendor of angels, and the former shall yet more waste away in wonder at the visions and in the beholding of the forms that we'll change into. For they shall first behold and afterwards depart and be tormented at the reward that we're going to receive of the transformation from corruptible to incorruptible and the glorious splendor of him being on our face. For when we see him, we shall be just like him. We shall be changed. Corruptible shall put on incorruptible people. And you keep hearing this resounding about the law. I know for a fact that the messengers are being attacked because people don't want to hear the message. So they go into the messenger's path to try and taint the message because they want to not believe that we're preaching the truth that they must conform to, because they're making the commandments grievous because they don't want to come out of the world and they don't want to acquiesce and decrease so that the Most High might increase. They think that what we're doing is ridiculous. They don't know. I got joy. The reason I got joy is because of Baruch, the fourth chapter, and the first verse says, this is the book of the commandments of the Most High and the law that endureth forever. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die. Verse 2, turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou might be illuminated. And don't give your honor to another, nor the things that are profitable unto thee to a strange nation, synagogue of Satan, trying to steal our stuff and say they the people. Verse 5 said, be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel. You were sold to the nations, not to your destruction, because you moved the Most High to wrath. You were delivered into these enemies' hands. That's why that happened. Close out real quick. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures for you to take a look at and read. That would be, we went through 2nd Ezra. No. Go into 2nd Ezra. Read the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter to encourage you to close this out, because that's been my time with you. And I hope I've encouraged you so you better understand what time we're living in, what's really happening, and what's getting ready to happen. And what you must do now, what you should be found doing. Don't get too caught up in the news. Stop watching it so much fast from the news, the media, even though they're starting to backpedal. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Stay kind. Stay loving. Stay holy by keeping the laws and commandments. And we're closer than ever. I can't believe the time we're living in, and most people can't see it. This is a glorious time for those that are keepers of the faith. Revelations 22 and 14, these are they that do the commandments, that do them, that we might have a right to the tree of life, that we can enter in through the front gates and walk right in. You got to pay your part. What do you think? You think you're just going to just walk in, just going to get a golden ticket? You just get a gold? This ain't Willy Wonka land. You're going to be judged on your works and what you've done. When we go into the wilderness to protect us from the wrath that's coming, there'll be a purging of our people. And only a few are going in because we got to purge out the rebels because y'all some turn up kings and queens. And the women, oh, man, this world has promoted you and put you in a position to where you do not want to conform to the nation of Israel coming back together and that man being the head in charge. That's been taken away from you. You're a strong black female. Sisters, I love you, and I implore you to find your place in Titus 2 and Proverbs 31 and come back to being a virtuous woman and not walk in the curses of Isaiah, the third chapter, that you're walking in because these other nations are trying to destroy our nation by disrupting our families and our order, our divine order, which is the Most High, then Christ, then man, then woman, then the children, and you kids. Breaking the fifth commandment and not honoring your parents. You're shortening your days, and you may not see the kingdom. Listen, I don't want to see anybody not make the kingdom. But one thing I do know is that if I make it into the kingdom, he's going to dry my eyes, and I'm not going to remember you or what you did or what you meant to me. I'm not going to be able to look back and say, oh, I wish little Johnny would have made it with me. But no, I'm not going to remember you. He's going to dry our eyes. Be no sorrow because you're making your own choices right now. So find joy in righteousness and morality. Find joy and peace in keeping the commandments and serving the Most High because it's coming to a close. But the close brings us into eternity. That you don't believe, check this out. Satan is promising eternity because he's always trying to be like the Most High. Isaiah 14 told us he has a 5-point plan and he's accomplished it. You didn't see it. You're going to church worshiping fallen deities, fallen angels, and Lucifer on Sundays. Sun worship, heliocentric worship in the ways of the world. He said I would be worshipped. I'm going to sit on the throne. I'm going to sit on the sides of the north. I'll establish my altar above the stars. See, he has been worshipped all this time. How can Christianity that was taught to the slaves by the slave owners, the colonizers, be the way of Yah when they would go to church on Sunday and come out and hang your butt and cut your body parts off and hand them out as trinkets? And souvenirs. What redemption factor was in that Sunday church that you wanted to be a part of so bad? To where they would let the few Nat Turners come in and preach hope to their people and turn the other cheek. Even Nat Turner said, wait a minute, something's wrong with this. Because you got to come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments and find joy in doing so. And I want you to be encouraged. And that's been my time. You're the preacher. You've been tuned into Blueprint for Life and this awakening. Let's come back to the ways that he established for us so that we can get the kingdom and we can walk in. Love you, brothers and sisters, and know that the only for sure obstacle to truth is thinking you already have it. The truth is a journey and not a destination. Let's get the kingdom. We can do this. Shabbat Shalom. Happy Feast of Tabernacles.
kingdom down. Oh, Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, yes, you've been a building your kingdom. Oh, Lord,
all over this land.
That's all right.
Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down.
Oh, thank you, Lord. The preachers are gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preachers
are gonna preach your kingdom down. Oh,